Sam and I have been doing this for 23 years. I guess it'd be too much to ask to give us 23 more. But I'm asking. I tell you, when you're dependent on gizmos like this, you got to be patient. You know, I ran across a card the other day that Susan gave me. I don't know at what point she gave me this card, but at one of our anniversaries or birthdays or something, had these two older senior people sitting on the front porch, husband and wife, on the swing, and he looks over at her and he goes, "You know, I think the day I met you was the best day of my life." She said, "I agree." "Oh, it was the best day of your life?" "No, it was the best day of yours." Another one was said, you know, that says, I read the other day, it says that the older you get, I forget what that said, so I ain't going to tell it. I got a bigger laugh out of that, and I'd have gotten out of the joke. I'm glad I got this stuff here written down, though. You know, I had an interesting day on Monday. It's been 11 months since Susan passed away, and I've never gone to pick up her ashes. They were in San Pedro is one reason that I hadn't been to pick them up. It just wasn't convenient. But more than that, I just wasn't ready. But I don't know when you ever get ready for something like that. Get ready or not, here it comes. And finally, the Trident Society called me and said, "Hey, what do you want us to do with these ashes?" And they gave me an option of coming to pick them up, or there was an option that they would have them delivered to my front door, which I figured the Lord was in that. So I was waiting Monday for the knock on the door, and the knock came, and I had to do some. I got up early, as I usually do, and I had to talk to the Lord, kind of get myself prepared for it. Because I tell you, in the flesh, I was not having a good time with this whole concept. In the flesh, I was thinking, this most beautiful woman I've ever seen. I loved every inch of her body. I loved everything about her. I loved her eyes. I loved her auburn hair. And now she's ashes in a box. Oh, man. And so I said, "Lord, I know this is childish. I know it's immature. I know it's in the flesh. But I need some help." And so I said, "Give me some word. Give me some of your word. Give me some scripture." And what he gave me was Ecclesiastes 3:20 from my flesh part. He said, "For the fate of the..." Now, you know, Ecclesiastes, Solomon's writing this, and he's just going vanity, vanity, all is vanity. He's looking at everything in the world from a horizontal level, and he said, it's worthless. It's all in vain. It leads to nothing. There's no true meaning and purpose. And so in 3:20, he says, "For the fate of the sons of men and the fate of beasts is the same. They both die. All go to the same place. All came from dust. All will return to dust." And then in chapter 12, "For man goes to his eternal home while mourners go about in the street. Remember him before the silver cord is broken. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was. And the spirit will return to God who gave it." Susan has a new body now, my son. More beautiful, if you can believe it, more wonderful than you can imagine. She can't wait for you to see her. It's not a time for you to be morbid about her passing and her ashes being in a box. It's not her. It's the old her that was aging and wrinkling. I'm sparing her all that. Aching and growing more so every day. See her now with me in her new body and rejoice that you have a Father in heaven who redeems and gives you beauty for ashes. Hallelujah. And then in Isaiah 6:61, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners. to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of the spirit of fainting, so they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. An answer will be forthcoming. Just remember, it's not Susan in that box. She is so much more than ashes. She's spirit and love and grace and beauty. Ashes are temporary, but her spirit is eternal. Her ashes will fade back into the dust it came from. Her spirit, which is eternal, has ascended to me here in heaven, which is eternal. Her memories will be with you until I bring you home, Peter, to reign with us. Treasure your memories. Be grateful for them, for they are many and they are great. Remember how Susan would sit in their chair in those last days on the patio and say, haven't we had a great life? And you did. I gave you two a great life and marriage. Be grateful for that. Not mourning them. And know that I have a greater life ahead for you. Hallelujah. Do we have a great God or what? Now, see if I can get this thing to work. I'll wing it, but I want to wing it when I get this on the screen. You know, the title of this message is Beauty for Ashes. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I just read that for you. And you know what the Spirit of the Lord does when he comes? What he does is he's a spirit of encouragement. He's a spirit of love. He's a spirit of peace and mercy and compassion. What's your concept of God? Do you need to be encouraged today? Amen. Do you feel like that you've been given a box of ashes for your life? Do you feel like you're not accomplishing anything? Maybe you got it in reverse and things aren't happening the way that you hope they would or wish they would. Did your place in life, are you thinking I could have been so much more? Maybe I should be better. Maybe I haven't done enough. Maybe I'm not righteous enough and holy enough. Don't read my Bible enough. Don't pray enough. Don't give enough. Don't serve enough. You know, when it all boils down, it's just ashes. You know where I came from? I came from ashes. I had a really, I'm not talking about me, I'm talking about most guys, maybe you. You think that life has given you ashes instead of beauty. And God is saying, get your eyes off of yourself. In Matthew 11, it's a good passage. I never looked at it like this until I was preparing for these, share these thoughts with you. It says, where sin and sorrow cease and the song of the saint commences. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. And what's he going to do? I'm going to point out everything you've been doing wrong. Now, the devil comes along and puts us under law. The devil comes along and says, you got to perform, you got to work harder, you got to try harder, you got to make a better effort, you got to get it out of low gear, you got to make it happen. That's what the world tells us. That's what our bosses tell us at work. That's what we tell guys at work for us. When I was coaching, that's what I told the team. And when I was being coached, that's what the coach told me. And so we're serving a God who's very different from that. But sometimes we act like practical atheists when we feel like life has given us ashes. And God says, those aren't ashes. I want you to see them, the beauty in them. I want you to see the beauty that I've given you in it. And in Hebrews 3, well, let me go back to, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I made a list of things one day that were beauty for ashes. What the world gives us and what God gives us. The world gives us a rational thought. God gives us irrational. Doesn't make sense sometimes. Maybe right now you're having a hard time making sense out of what's going on. God took Jane, God took Susan, God took Colleen, and it's now Sam's in all kinds of trouble. You got people in your own life that were trouble. Bill's ex-boss wife died late yesterday. Things happen. Life gives us tough things. In this world, you're going to have tribulation. In this world, you're going to have people that think rationally. But when you're walking in by faith, you're going to think irrationally according to the world's thinking and understanding. You look off unto Jesus and they'll call you impractical, illogical, foolish. To be doing those things or not doing those things. Turning the other cheek, going the second mile, blessing those who curse you. I was reading a friend who ministers in the Middle East, and he was talking about being in Egypt. He said that the crown prince of Saudi Arabia visited the Coptic pope in Egypt. He said, you know, Muslims are your best friends. And the pope says, well, why would that be? He says, because when we kill you guys, you forgive us. And Muslims are taking note of that. They're impressed with that. You know how many Muslims are coming to know Jesus Christ? They're hearing about beauty for ashes. They're hearing about a God that doesn't give them law and doesn't put them under performance-based things, but gives them forgiveness and mercy and compassion. That's what David knew about God when David had sinned and committed adultery, murder. And this is a man after God's own heart that wrote the Psalms. This is what keeps me humble. I think of David. I said, man, if it could happen to him, it could happen to me. Paul thought the same thing. He says, I buffet my body. I treat it roughly. I bring it under control. So after enlisting others to the race, I myself might not be disqualified. He never forgot that. He never got full of himself. He never thought he had arrived. He always knew that his strength came from the Lord. It was the Lord's plan. It was the Lord's world. It was his, and his privilege was to suffer for him. I want to know him, he said, and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. The world gives us the natural. God gives us the supernatural. The natural says if you have pancreatic cancer, it's a death sentence. Fourth stage. But I just talked to a man that had pancreatic cancer, and he's had three straight no cancer PET scans.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. I mean, we have a supernatural God. He overrules things, not always. I mean, he told me that he could accomplish the gospel. Does that matter to me? Or does Susan being saved from death matter to me? If God told you, look, I know you lost a job, you lost your wife, you lost your child, you lost your whatever it is the loss was, your money, your house. What have you really lost? What really matters to you? If I said I could accomplish more by bringing Susan home to me than I could by supernaturally healing her and leaving her there, would they, you go, thank you for breaking my heart? See, when we're committed to the gospel, when the world is bigger than this, the world is not about us living and dying and having comfortable lives and having nice places to live. The world is about the gospel. We talked about that last week. This thing right here is not wanting to cooperate. I'm having to follow it around. The world gives us hard landings. Things just don't work out when we do the world's way. It always leads to quarrels and separation and difficulty. But God gives us soft landings. God says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He gives us beauty for ashes. The ashes are that I demand my rights. They demand the rights the world does. You're not meeting my rights. You're not meeting my expectations. God gives us surrender of rights. So we don't have to worry anymore. That's a truth that sets us free. That's the beauty of following Jesus Christ. I don't have to have my rights anymore. I can trust God. I want what God wants, not what I want. I'm free now. I don't have to plan. I don't have to hope. I don't have to wish. God's got this. God gives me an opportunity to surrender my plan, to surrender what I think is right or good or what I need. God knows what I need. I don't even know what I need. God told me one day, I want you to ask me to bless you. I said, God, I don't know what to ask. Bless me how? I'd feel like I'm gilding the lily, as they call it, asking for more than you've given me. How much more could I ask? And thankful for my salvation, thankful for my family, thankful that I was born and live in America. I have so much to be thankful for. I'm not sure what to ask you, what blessings to ask for. And you know what blessing he gave me? He took my wife to heaven. He helped himself to my life and to my wife. Now, normally we don't see that as a blessing. Ray Comfort, the evangelist, wrote a book. It was called God Has a Wonderful Plan for Your Life. And on the front cover was Stephen being stoned to death. God has a wonderful plan for your life. When you think of that, you typically don't think of being stoned to death or losing your wife or your job or getting some terrible disease. But God gives you beauty for ashes. God gives you, in the middle of all that, God gives you victory and peace. God puts you in the eye of his storm. God allows those things to come into our life, but he also makes our yoke easy and our burden light. But it's all about the gospel. If it wasn't about the gospel, yeah, it would be ashes. It would be terrible. It would be horrible, but it's not. Jesus hanging on the cross, and you're sitting there looking at the suffering he's been through already and looking at he's agonizing and dying and nails in his hands and feet and crown of thorns on his head and a hole in his side, and you think, where's the justice in this? It's ashes. But you and I are sitting here today, if we know Jesus Christ personally, if he's our Lord and our Savior, we're sitting here today because of those ashes. And because of those ashes, he gave us beauty. And the beauty is a salvation. He accomplished salvation for the whole world. I don't have to go to hell now. I can go to heaven and spend eternity with him. And right now, between now and then, I can give you heaven. I can encourage you in your journey there. I could say, look, go ahead and stumble. Go ahead and fail. Go ahead and do it all wrong. Go ahead and go back to your vomit. God will give you beauty for that if you repent. I have a God that gives beauty to guys that repent in those ashes, of those ashes. I have a God who puts my sin behind him when I repent, when I'm broken before him, when I have a contrite heart, when I'm surrendered, when I'm mourning and weeping over my sin. He gives me beauty for those ashes. Where's the hope? It's all over the place. My hope is in him. My hope is in the beauty that he gives me in Christ. The beauty that's in this room today, the love, the camaraderie, the band of brothers, the worship, the prayer we had upstairs. Look at the beauty God gives us. We drag in here sometimes. I want you to sprint out because you're so grateful that all those ashes that you thought God had given you, God's turned them into something beautiful. Something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, he understood. All I had to offer him was hopelessness and pain, but he made something beautiful of my life. We got a whole room full of testimonies of guys that had ashes and God has given you beauty. Can I get an amen from the congregation? If we took a mic around to every guy, you could find out where the ashes were, where the sin was, where the failing was, the stumbling, the not meeting the mark, not performing. And now God's given you the beauty of mercy and grace and forgiveness. My God gives beauty for ashes. Find the beauty in the ashes that you think God's given you. Don't wallow in the ashes. You know, ashes back in the day, in biblical days, were when men were humiliated, they were mourning, they were angry, they were heartsick and heartbroken. They would throw ashes on their head as a symbol of their abhorrence, of their self-abhorrence, wanting to beat themselves up for falling short of the mark, having pity parties and getting angry with themselves and disgusted with themselves. That's what we do, don't we? We sin and we just get disgusted with ourselves. And God says, I got some beauty for you. You want it? If you'll confess your sin, I'll be faithful and righteous to forgive your sin and give you beauty. The world demands rights and feels it deserves better. In Christ, we're just proud to be here. We don't deserve better. If we got what we deserved, and if we get what we deserve, we'd go to hell. Have you figured that out yet? You didn't deserve your salvation. There's nothing you could have done to earn it. You can't read enough of your Bible. You can't lead enough people to Christ. You can't show up at church in small groups and help little people across the street. Keep doing your good deeds. But that's not the reason you're saved. He didn't look at you and go, boy, you'd be good in my... Look at you. Look at those leadership you've got. Look at the gifts you've got. Look how much you've accomplished. He didn't look at you and think that. He looked at you and saw all the sin and failure and stumbling and ego and pride. And he says, I want to forgive all that. I want to wipe it away. I want to take it far behind me as the east is from the west. Oh, you've been killing and persecuting Christians and throwing them in jail. And on the road to Damascus, he gave Paul beauty for ashes. And Paul repented. What a wonderful concept, repentance. A man finally getting in God's corner and witnessing against himself and agreeing with God that I'm a sinner and I can't help myself, I can't fix myself, I can't save myself, I can't forgive myself. It's all of grace. It all comes. I'm saved by grace through faith. It's a gift of God. And I didn't deserve it. Grace is giving someone something they don't deserve, good that they don't deserve. And it's given by someone who didn't have to give it. He didn't have to give me grace. I don't understand salvation. I don't get it at all. But I'm sure excited about it.
Amen.
I don't understand why I get to be a Christian, why I know for sure that I'm going to heaven. Do you know? Do you know for sure you're going to heaven? Are you still doubting because you've never really surrendered? You've never really given your heart to Jesus Christ in a surrendered, total abandonment and absolute trust. The only way you get back the beauty is being contrite of heart, broken before God, realizing you're a sinner, realizing you can't help yourself, can't fix yourself. You can't work hard enough, do enough, serve enough, give enough. You can't. It's all worthless. It's all ashes apart from the grace of God. It's all of grace. Grace alone and Christ alone. Not grace plus and Christ plus. The world wants revenge. God gives us forgiveness. I don't have to get revenge. God's going to be just. God will be fair. In the end, it'll all sort out. He'll separate the sheep from the goats. And everybody who God meant to be in heaven will be in heaven. And everybody that he didn't mean will be in hell. I don't understand all that either. I'm not going to try to unravel all that. I got a God who's sorted it out. I got a God who's good. God who's not going to make a mistake. He's too wise and good to make a mistake, to be wrong. He's right in everything. He's right in everything that's going on in your life. Everything he puts in and everything he takes out, blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When's the last time you said, blessed be the name of the Lord? I'm sorry, but I got to lay you off. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm sorry, but you got a terminal illness. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm sorry, but your child just had an accident. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Guys, that's what's going to win the battle now. We're not going to win the battle in the voting booth. We keep talking about that and talking about it. And we want to see how many people we can get in the voting booth and get on a record or something. And I'm going to vote. I'm going to try to uphold being a good citizen and doing everything I can, but I want to see people saved. And if America gets saved, hallelujah. But it's more important. And when they wanted to get me in a conversation / quarrel about moral issues that are on the table today that we're having to vote on, yay or nay, I just say, I ain't going there. Refuse foolish, ignorant speculation. It only leads to quarrels. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome. Well, what's he do then? Well, he lives in such a way that gives them a chance to get saved. And so what Paul tell Timothy? He said, well, Timothy, here's the way you do it. Refuse foolish. Don't get drawn into those things. It only leads to quarrels. For the Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wrong, gently correcting those in opposition. If perhaps, and here's where the gospel comes in. It's all about the gospel, guys. If perhaps God may grant them that beautiful word, repentance. That person in your life could be your wife, could be one of your children, could be your boss, your brother, your uncle, your neighbor next door. That person in your life who's a porcupine person. Someone you just can't get near to. Someone you don't want to. You've just pretty much been disgusted and given up on them. You must be kind to all. Able to teach. Patient when wronged. Gently correcting those in opposition. You know what? That gets the world's attention. Just like that Muslim said, when you guys forgive us when we kill you, Muslims are taking notice. When you turn the other cheek, they're taking notice. When you go the second mile, they're taking notice. When you pray for your enemies and bless those who persecute you, they get it. They take a notice. They don't take notice when you get mad and get even and get revenge. Everybody does that. Anybody can do that. They're used to that. But when you do something totally 180 degrees different, then they sit up and take notice. That's evangelistic. Turning the other cheek is evangelistic. He didn't just tell us to turn the other cheek for no reason. Show them what I'm like. Reflect my nature. Make them hungry for me. I've had guys come up, maybe you have, and they come up and go, I don't know what you got, but I need it. I don't know why you have peace, but I need that same kind of peace. Where'd you get that? How'd that happen? You just turn the other cheek. You're letting them treat you like a doormat. Why would you do that? You a real man? Yeah, I'm a real man. I'm just like Jesus Christ, who was reviled and reviled not, who suffered and uttered no threats. I don't have to get revenge anymore. I don't have to explain myself. I don't have to vindicate myself. I don't have to win the battle of the argument. Now I've found the truth that sets me free from all that. He's given me beauty for ashes. And all those things are ashes. So, gently correcting those in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth, what's the most important thing in their life? It's not their sin, their sinful lifestyle, their profanity, their telling their dirty jokes. I've been in there and done that. God gave me beauty for ashes. I was about to tell an old golf joke the other day to some friends. Boy, did the Lord slap my face. I just read a verse that said, no coarse jesting. I went, crud. Got me again. I didn't tell the joke, but I laughed myself at it because it's really funny. Moving right along. The world keeps score. God forgets all of our offenses and forgives them. The world demands perfection. God allows us failure so we can grow. And in our failure and in our stumbling and in our sin, He gives us beauty instead of those things. Instead of me hanging on the cross in the ashes, He hung there beautifully for me. He was my substitute. He took my place. Has He taken your place? Have you received a Savior that's taken your place on the cross? Have you put your faith in Him? Have you been saved by His grace alone, hanging on the cross alone to accomplish our salvation? There's no other way to get there. There's no other way to get salvation. Jesus said it, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. It's the only way. There's no two ways or three ways or 10 ways. Every other god is a false god. Every other god is a god of law, a god of demanding, a god of works. So when David sinned and committed murder and adultery, he goes to who? The God of, be merciful to me, O God, the God of mercy. According to your love and your kindness, God's a God of love and kindness. according to your great compassion, God's a God of compassion and grace, blot out my transgressions. Have you ever been to that God? Have you ever gone to the God of grace and mercy and compassion and kindness and love? What do you get back in return? You get back beauty. And David had a broken and contrite heart over his sin. He ran from God for a year. That's what we do. That's what Adam did. I should say Pete. I don't say Adam and Eve anymore. I go Pete and Eve. Because I'm right there. I'm right there with Adam. I'm not blaming him. It would have been me if I was in the garden. It would have been you. And yet God gives us, in all our sin and all our falling into sin and failure, God gives us beauty. Have you got beauty today? I could go, I got a long list here. And it could be a lot longer than that. It could fill up this whole journal. Have you got the beauty that God wants to give you? Have you been thinking that life has just given you ashes, but you haven't seen it through the grid of the gospel? The grid of reflecting the nature and the peace and the compassion and the mercy and the greatness of our God. See, God, that's what's going to win this battle. We're in a battle. We're in a spiritual war. We're going to win it upstairs on our knees. We're going to win it in here as a band of brothers. We're going to win it when we come together to be encouraged, to get perspective, to repent, to get our hearts right with God, to get in a journey group and learn to abide in Christ, have that intimate personal relationship with Him that all the fruit comes out of, all the beauty comes out of. He just took a deep breath. I want you to do that right now. Just and let it out. Just do that. Just feel the peace that comes when you just take that deep breath, that relaxing breath. That's what Jesus came to give us. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. I wonder if there's a guy in here today that doesn't know for sure that you're going to heaven. Because you can know for sure that you're going to heaven. According to 1 John 5:13, I write you these things, brethren, who believe in the one and only Son of God. Why? That you may know without a shadow of a doubt that you're saved. You can know that you're going to heaven. You know that you're forgiven. You know that you know the Spirit of God has come into your heart as you've asked Him to come into your heart. And He's forgiven your sin. You acknowledge Him as the Lord and the Savior of your life. You acknowledge Him that there is no other place you can go and no other fount that you can drink from except from Him, the living water, who gives you beauty for ashes. That's what testimonies are. We talk about the ashes that we came out of. We talk about the sin and the stumbling around and the failure and the disappointments and the broken hearts and the grossness of how we lived. And then the Jesus, by His mercy and His grace, revealed Himself to us and took the scales off our eyes. And so we saw clearly. And even now we see through a glass darkly, but we could see clearly Jesus Christ. And we put our faith in Him. Why? Because He gave us faith to put in Him. We exercise that faith and we put it in Him, the object of our faith. Faith has to have an object. For us, it's Jesus Christ. And something happened. Now I love the word. He took profanity out of my vocabulary. But for the most part. Sneaks back in there on the golf course. Not every time. Not every time. I'd rather quit cursing than quit playing. I'm working on it. God gives me beauty for ashes even on the golf course. I sunk a 30-footer. Well, won't go there. You want the beauty for those ashes that you came in here with today? Would you like to swap them for beauty? God wants to give you His beauty. He wants to give you His presence. He wants to give you His forgiveness. He loves you. You're His man. He died on the cross for you. He wants to have fellowship with you. He's got a plan for you. He wants you to realize His plan. He wants you to be in that yoke with Him, that easy yoke and that light burden. He said, "Lo, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age." What a God. What a Savior we have in Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to trust Him with your life and your eternity. If you lead a child to Christ, 3.5% will follow that child in the faith of the families. If you lead a mom to Christ, 17% will follow her in the faith. If you lead a dad to Christ, 93% follow him in the faith. We need men coming to know Jesus Christ and living for him, acting like they know him, responding in every situation like beauty instead of ashes, praising God instead of complaining, turning the other cheek instead of getting even, grumbling, letting all those resentment, bitterness, anger things loose in our heart. We need to repent of that and receive the beauty of Christ's forgiveness. And the world will take notice and we'll win this battle. You have an own battle. You have a calling on your life. We are together as a band of brothers. We're together as a body of Christ. But you have a personal ministry in your life and your sphere of influence. Are you giving them heaven? Are you showing them beauty for ashes? Are you making them hungry for Jesus Christ? Well, today we're going to prepare ourselves to go out there and give them heaven. We're going to prepare ourselves to go out there. Do you need to repent for those ashes that you've been mumbling and grumbling and thinking God gave you a raw deal? A raw deal would be he didn't hang on the cross. A raw deal would be he'd let us die in our sin and go to hell. But we got beauty instead. I can't wait to see Susan in her new body, see Stephen, my son, who died at birth, to see my mom and my dad, to see you, if you're headed for the same place I'm headed. Golf course. No. God and I have learned to laugh together as well as do a lot of other things. He lets us laugh. And when you get the beauty, you want to laugh. When you get the beauty, you fill of joy. When you get the beauty, you just built up and encouraged and edified. And let's just receive it today in a fresh new way. I want you to stand, put a hand on a brother today because we need each other. And Father, that's what we're doing today. We're just standing as a band of brothers and we're saying we have a God who gives us beauty for ashes. And Father, we just can't thank you enough. And the way we thank you best is to go out there and live for you. Give us power today to live for you. Give us your spirit living in us. Every encounter we have with everybody we encounter, Father, we're going to give you the glory. We're going to give you, look for the opportunity just to pat them on the back, lift them up, help them with their load, relieve their burden. However that looks and whatever that is, especially help us do that with our porcupine people in our lives. Break our heart for a lost world out there. Instead of criticizing and being disgusted, give us a mourning heart over those who are lost and will not spend eternity with you. And so help us to pray for them and bring them before your throne and serve them and live with them in a way that glorifies you. And when we do that, Lord, we'll have beauty for the ashes and we'll give them the beauty that spills over out of our life into their life. Give us salvation. Give us souls. Give us men like these men here. Thousands of men who are swapping their ashes for your beauty. In Jesus' name, and all God's men said,
amen.
Get out there and give them heaven, guys.